Listen, you guys have to work together in life. You're heirs together of the grace of life. It says, so your prayers be not hindered. Now listen to me, husband, wife. If you don't treat each other in marriage God's way, you're going to rob yourself.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday and welcome to Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill continues his study from the Epistle of Ephesians. Let's join Pastor now as he concludes the message, Husbands, Love Your Wives.
In heaven there, Jesus is going to present us to himself, the church, the bride, a glorious church. Not one spot, not one wrinkle, speaking of age. You want to get rid of wrinkles? It'll happen then, amen? And not only that, it's perfect holiness and perfect and pure holiness without blemish, not one blemish. One day, that'll be us in heaven. We are his bride. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes, cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Now listen, you're the spiritual leader of your home. Take care of your wife. Nourish her, cherish her, protect her. Amen? That's what you're supposed to be doing. It's just like Jesus does for us. For we're members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave father, mother, be joined to the wife, the two shall become one flesh. Now, Paul is quoting now what Adam said in Genesis 2:24, but listen to me. I've already covered that. I covered that last Sunday. Your wife, God created her to be a divine helper. That's her divine function. Man, listen. She's your equal. She's not below you. You understand? So important. But men, when we get married, what do? We leave and we cleave and we join. And so the word join there means to be permanently glued, to never separate. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So when it says about this leaving and cleaving and all of that, leaving your father and mother and so forth, it doesn't mean that you hate your mother and father, you disown them. It means that, you know what, you're on your own now. You got to take care of your family. Amen? Yeah, it also means that you leave your buddies. You can go visit them time to time, but you don't hang out with them, you know. You know what I'm saying? All the time. In other words, why? Well, your wife now is your top priority. Amen? Now, but I want you to look at this. Verse 32. Look what Paul writes. He says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, so the real mystery here about marriage is Christ and his bride, the church. And the mystery, loved one, is great. It is a great mystery. Verse 30 told us that we, the bride of Christ, we are part of Christ. We're members of his body. We're members of his flesh. We're members of his bone. We are his bride. Adam said in Genesis 2:23, Adam said, now this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Why? Because she was taken out of man, out of this side. Now, the moment that Adam saw Eve, he recognized her as himself. Not two different people. In other words, she wasn't a separate person. You see the great mystery here? Listen, this mystery is greater than I know even to teach. Matter of fact, I'm almost afraid to say what I put on my paper here because I'm sure I'm going to stain what Paul and the Lord is trying to teach us. But I want you to listen to me about this great mystery. Adam was created in the image and the likeness of God, wasn't he? But the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ, he was created. He is the invisible image of Almighty God. Remember over in Colossians? Think about that for the comparison here. Who was the first head of the human race? Adam. Adam was the, He was the federal head of the human race. We all came from Adam and Eve, loved one. But listen carefully now. The last Adam, and you can look that up, the last Adam is found in 1 Corinthians 15:45, by the way. The last Adam, Jesus Christ our Lord, he is the head of all redeemed humanity. Matter of fact, he's the head of the world. He is the King of Kings. Amen? And so also, Adam, the first Adam, did he and Eve give life to all the descendants? Yes, he did. But the last Adam, Jesus Christ, when he came, the Bible says in John that he was the light and the life of all men, especially to those who believe. He has now given unto them eternal life. So what did God do to Adam? God put a deep sleep upon Adam. And while Adam was in that coma or that deep sleep, what did God do? God took a rib from the flesh and so forth. And what did he do? He made a bride from a wound in his side. The last Adam, Jesus Christ our Lord, he died upon the cross. And then as he did, he suffered the deep sleep of death. In other words, he tasted death for everyone. Remember what the Roman soldier did in John, 36 or 34, right there, came and put a spear where? Into Jesus. Into his side, blood and the water pouring out. Now listen, a wound in the side of our Lord produced another bride, the church of Jesus Christ. What a mystery. No, what a great mystery, loved one. Now, look at verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, because you're one flesh, loved one. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. If you've been in counseling ever, premarital counseling or whatever with me, you know that I always say, listen, the man doesn't need the L word, okay? The woman needs the L word. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying, honey, I love you, I love you, I love you. That's wonderful, and men love that. However, she needs that more than you do. But the man needs the R word. That's how you love a man, your husband, is that you respect him. Man, and there's nothing that turns a man on and captures his heart as when his wife says, you know, honey, I'm so glad I married you. I've never seen anybody work like you. I've never seen a man sacrifice the way you sacrificed for us. I'm going to tell you what, that turns him on. You melt his heart whenever you do things like that. But men, listen to me now. Listen, if you're not obedient to verse 25, here's what's going to happen. You're robbing your marriage, and you're robbing your marriage for your wife's sake as well. You don't want to do that, and it means you'll never have marriage the way God intended you to have it. I want you to turn your Bibles. We're going to finish in just a second, but I want you to look at something. Turn to 1 Peter 3 and look at this one incredible verse, verse 7. 1 Peter 3:7. I think this is one of the greatest scriptures on marriage in the Bible. And husbands, I encourage you to memorize every word. Every word in verse 7 is over the top important concerning marriage. Let me read it to you. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them. That's your wife. Live with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now listen, it says dwell with your wife. This is so much more than sleeping in the same bed, living at the same address, and sitting down and eating at the same supper table. No, the word dwell means to live in the same house with her and live in such a close relationship with her. Be so sensitive and so considerate of her. And it tells you how to dwell with your wives. It says to do so with understanding. In other words, according to the knowledge. What knowledge would that be? God's knowledge. God created your wife. Now, you know, sometimes I repeat stuff that I've said about marriage so many times, I say, well, you already know it. Why should I even say it? But the fact of the matter is, there's some people that don't know it. I always say this, people that are getting ready to get married, they come into my office, and I always ask them, where do you find your roles? Most, like I said, mainly they never know. And then I ask this, I said, well, how are you going to build your marriage? And they always just look at me like, well, I don't know. We're married, you know, married. It just happens. No, it doesn't. So, and I always use this word. If I wanted to know everything about a 2020 Lexus, okay, would I call Ford Motor Company? No. Why? They don't make a Lexus. I would call Lexus, and they would tell me everything about that car because they are the creator. So if you want to know everything about your wife that you can possibly know, you need to go to your manual, which is the Word of God. Now listen to me. God made your wife. God created marriage. And two people can be married and never really know one another. I'll never forget. I asked a couple one time. I don't know if it's the guy or the girl. I can't remember. But I said, so you guys know one another pretty well? Oh, yeah, we know each other. I said, what's her favorite color? What? What's her favorite color? And they look at each other, and he goes, what is your favorite color? And I'm going, you don't know anything about her. What is this, lust? What is this? Come on. Do you not talk? Do you not know anything about your wife? My gosh. Listen, knowledge about your wife is who she is. Her emotional makeup, what makes her tick, what turns her on, what does she hate? I mean, you should be able to walk, guys, into your home and look at your wife without her saying one word, and you know what kind of day she's had. Does that make sense? Because you know her, you read her, you know everything about her. And you know what, guys, listen to me. Women are different than we are. You got a problem in your marriage, you have an argument, you ever have that? What do you do? Listen, you know, men, we're bad. We have an argument or whatever, we go, all right, we're going to fix this right now. You know, we're going to get, come on, let's talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Let's talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Learn something. Learn from the old guy. Women process things. It may take them a week to talk about it. You just shut up, sit there, and let her process it. And she might come back, and she comes back again because she's still processing it. It'll drive you crazy. Men, we're like, come on, we're going to solve it right now because I'm going to live. I'm not going to suffer for a whole week. Women are different. You have to understand the emotional makeup, who she is, her wife. And then you have to do something else. You have to giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. And this doesn't mean that weaker spiritually or mentally, it's weaker physically. And I know some women could beat me up. So you know what I'm saying. No, listen, give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. I always talk to women. Now listen, guys, if you're on my couch, you and your future wife, or even after you're married, I always ask a woman a question. I say, please forgive me. I'm not trying to offend you. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But have you ever been hurt by a man? And that always gets their attention. And they always say yes. I said, has a man ever lied to you? Yes. Have they ever lied to you over and over to try to get something that they want? Yes. What did you do about it? Well, I don't know that I trust men very well. Ah, so in other words, every man that could be fathers. So women, they have to protect themselves. So what do? They put up bricks in their heart. They build wall after wall after wall, and they protect themselves because it hurts to be hurt, doesn't it? It hurts to be taken advantage of. Now, men, listen to me. If you're married to, okay, you are the only person on earth that can now, as her husband, no one else, you're the only person on earth that can tear down every wall that she has surrounded and protected her heart with. You're the only person. This is the greatest verse on marriage in the Bible because women have been hurt. It's horrible what men do to women, the lies they tell them. And how they want to use them or abuse them for their own lust or whatever. Tell them that they're loved, they want to marry, but they don't. That's terrible. So listen, with all that being said, you know, there's something that you have to do. Only you, by the power of God's grace, the Holy Spirit, and His Word, can you, in your marriage, make your wife whole in her heart. Think about that. It says there, giving honor to the wife is unto the weaker vessel. The word vessel means something that covers. So if something is covered, that means there's something there contained under that cover. That's where the word honor comes in, and it's such a great word. It means to treat as treasure or to treat as a precious stone. It means giving honor to your wife. Let me give you the perfect example. When I was a young man living in Europe, I was there in the military, and I traveled all over Europe, and I loved going to Paris because of the Louvre. When I went to see the one painting I wanted to see was the Mona Lisa. And when there, of course, that was the 60s and so forth. You walk into the Mona Lisa then, I don't know what it's like today, but you walk into one gigantic room. There are two guards in that room. There are no lights but one light shining on the Mona Lisa, and the guards are right there. There's ropes that keep you way back. You can only get so close. They wouldn't take pictures back then at all. And I'll never forget seeing that, how excited I was. It was a masterpiece. It's a treasure, loved one. So imagine this. Let's say right now, here we are in this room, and there's just the husband and there's just the wife, and there's not any lights in this room except one light shining right down on a treasure chest. And in that treasure chest, there are rubies and diamonds and emeralds and, oh man, every kind of jewelry, gold, pearl, all of it. Well, that represents her heart. And all of it belongs to you, husband. And she wants to give all of it to you, husband. But she won't because she can't. Because of the past hurt and the wounds. She wants to trust you with all of her heart. And the only thing you can do to retrieve what now belongs to you. Oh, she gives you part of it. Don't get me wrong. You have to take this scripture. You have to use it as a spiritual sledgehammer. And you start honoring your wife. You start loving your wife the right way. You start treating her as an expensive, unbelievable treasure. And you know what opens up? The treasure chest of her heart. And all of a sudden, your marriage changes like it has never changed before. You're discovering the riches of this marriage that will literally blow your way. And you start seeing her change. Why? Because you are obeying the word of God. It says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Husband, your wife is your equal. Amen? Is the wife a co-heir of Christ? Is the husband a co-heir of Christ? Do they both share eternity? Yes. Are their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Yes, they are co-heirs. Listen, you guys have to work together in life. You're heirs together of the grace of life. It says, so your prayers be not hindered. Now listen to me, husband, wife, if you don't treat each other in marriage God's way, you're going to rob yourselves. Did you notice that it didn't say his prayers were hindered? It didn't say her prayers were hindered. It says your prayers, both of your prayers are hindered. And that word hindered is a military term, which means to cut a path across a road to stop a military army from proceeding. There's no way they can get there now. You've cut the road in half. God says, listen, you know, God's not going to answer your prayers. You treat your treasure badly. You verbally abuse your wife. You speak evil over her, harm her. God says, listen to me, husband. I created you and I created her. She is my daughter. You're my son. Amen? You see that? We're purchased possession. We don't belong to ourselves. He said, you don't treat her like that. She belongs to me. And wife, don't you dare treat him like that. He belongs to me. Does that make sense? Yeah, listen. You see, if your prayers are not getting any higher than the ceiling and you're in marriage right now, you better look at the way you're treating each other. Now, that is how you, husbands, that's how you build marriage God's way until death do you part. You see, the moment you are married, you start moving forward page after page on the journey of life. Well, and listen, you're both going to grow through the years. There's going to be so many different things. Listen, I met Rebecca, my wife. You all know, been here anytime. You know that I met her in church, and I married her in 7 days. 7 days. 7 days. We have now been together over 4 decades as one flesh, through the ups, through the downs, through good times, through bad times, through cancer, through this. We've been through it all. Do you understand? Men, listen to me now. You know, every decade, and this is where men miss it, every decade is different. It's amazing. I wish I'd have known that in my 20s, that every decade, see, I thought by the time you get to my age, I'd have it down. I don't have it down. Do you understand? No, listen, every decade is going to be different, and you're going to be different in every decade. Your wife is going to be different in every decade. And when you get down to the decade that I'm in right now, you know what happens? You start losing the hair on your head, and it starts growing on your wife's lip. Do you understand? Oh, Lord. I don't know where that came from. Everybody say amen. Listen, we change, we grow. And here's the thing, every decade you have different problems. Do you understand? You think, oh, man, the 20s. No, no, no. You wait till you get older. You would not think that if you're my age, you would have any new fears or any kind of temptations. It's amazing how everything, every decade, it just blows me away, and I'm so glad that I know that. And every decade, not only is it different, but listen to me, every decade you are going to have men, women, but I'm talking to men, you're going to have emotions that you never knew that you had. When your first child is born, it's an emotion you've never, ever had. The first time he or she speaks, or the first time that they walk. Listen, or when they graduate from school, or then you take them to college and you leave them and you've never left them any. That's a new emotion. Do you understand what I'm getting at? You come back to the house, and the house, you and your wife sit there, and the house is all empty. What an emotion that is. Then they marry. That's another emotion. Then they have children. Oh, my gosh. Another emotion. And then if they hurt, you hurt, because you never stop being the spiritual leader of your home. You never stop being a father. Do you understand? You never stop being a husband. And here's the thing. In your latter years, in your marriage, the husband becomes reflective. He evaluates all the way back, all the way forward. He's more prone to crying when he gets older too. I don't know why. It's all different. And you have to prepare yourselves now for that. If you do it now, it'll be so much easier as the years go by. Don't ever get or be set, guys, in your way. Time is short. And listen to me, it rushes by. Don't be set in your ways. Be set in God's. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and as he gave himself for. There's nothing greater than having marriage God's way. What a glorious adventure the Lord gives you. Amen. Be good to your wife. Tell your wife every day, I do. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful. At the end, when it's all said and done, maybe there are those that are listening right now and you say, well, Bill, you know, this is about marriage and so forth. Well, let me talk to you about your salvation. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is Lord? At the very end, there's an invitation in God's word. All the way in the book of Revelation, listen to me. It says in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit, and here it comes, and the Spirit and the bride, that's us, say, come. It says, come. And let him who hears say, come. It's an invitation. And let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take of the water of life. If you do not know, those that are listening live, you don't know Christ, ask him to come into your heart right now. Ask him to be the Lord of your life. And believe that in your heart, and he will save you. And that goes for anyone here in this early service as well. Just cry out to the Lord, and he will save you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the role of the husband and the role of the wife. I pray, Lord, that somehow this word has ministered to the men. And they set their hearts, Father, to prepare, no matter how old they are, prepare them to do marriage your way. Lord, bless the sheep of your pasture now. Bless all the people that are here. Lord, I'm thankful for it. I love you, Lord. We give you praise in the mighty name.
Next time on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill's study from Ephesians addresses the Christian home. And we do hope you'll tune in once again. As always, we appreciate the privilege of your time. and we pray the remainder of your day is blessed. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.